Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to see all of you here tonight, and it's wonderful to have the Foss family here with us. I don't know if I've ever seen you here before on a Wednesday, but it's great to have you. And we are going to be singing some songs, of course, and later on Shirley's going to give a Bible study. But before we do anything, we need to pray, as we always do, because we do need the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to come before thee. We thank thee for this opportunity to sing thy praises and to worship thee. We ask, O God, that thy Spirit, thy Holy Ghost, would be here today upon each and every one of us. We ask that thou wouldst fill us with thy power. We ask, O God, that thy Spirit would truly be here and that we would worship thee in spirit and in truth. Abide with us here, we pray, throughout this evening and as we go forward. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, and as we like to do on Wednesday nights, we're going to sing from the chorus book. Why don't we start with number 94, Wherever I Am. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is such a wonderful thing to praise the Lord, and we should do that wherever we can, whenever we can. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 90 across the page, The Name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The right
precious one into the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We know that God is our refuge, for as the scriptures tell us, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 91, Without Him? Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we would be totally lost and completely helpless without Him. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, singing that song, it just seems right to sing number 47 after that one. Lord, make me what I ought to be.
Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be.
In progress, but by the grace of God, He will make us what we ought to be. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 48 right below that? They that wait upon the Lord.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Amen.
To God. And you know, that's such an encouraging chapter, Isaiah 40. If you ever feel like you need strength from the Lord, I would recommend that one. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 85, Give Me Oil in My Lamp.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning. of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, and we need that oil. Praise the Lord, the oil of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And of course, we know that Hosanna means save now, and that's a wonderful thing to sing. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 77 across the page, In the Name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee.
Thank you. praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise.
And you know, if you've been adopted by the Lord Jesus, as the scriptures teach us, then you have access to that name. You can use that name and you have victory in that name. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Rob, if I could get you to do that for us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory, not for our own use. And we ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy glory. We ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And we're going to sing one more song before we let Shirley start her Bible study. And it probably won't come as a surprise because I think we all know by now that I particularly like to sing this song. It's such a wonderful song to sing. Number 128, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. There's just nothing else quite like being in the presence of the Lord, is there? Well, we will let Shirley get started on her Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for that worship. That was wonderful. The Lord is so good. It is so wonderful to be in His presence. And I know Sister Chris came over to the office with me a little bit yesterday, and, you know, we just got praying. And, you know, it's just so beautiful because, you know, we bring our things to the Lord, our cases, our problems, our needs. We bring them to the Lord. And He meets those needs. And it's just so wonderful because it's just like, I know Chris and I have so enjoyed this wonderful presence of the Lord that just comes down. We just know that God is there. You know, we could feel Him in our midst. And I love that. There's something so wonderful about the Lord's presence, just being in that place where He is, and all those doubts, all those worries, all those things that you're questioning all fade away. Once things of this world, like the song goes, there are no consequences. They grow strangely dim. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter anymore what we're facing or what the obstacles are or what the situations are. We're in God's presence. And while those things melt away, you know, I just know every day we need to get there, every day to be in that place where He is, to walk with Him. We can have that communion with Him, you know. One day we are going to be with Him. We will see Him face to face. And can you imagine what that will be like to forever be in His presence? Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There's nothing more wonderful than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here tonight and talk to the Lord and ask Him to be here. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again that we could come before Thee, Lord. Oh, God, I thank You for this people that have gathered here tonight, Lord. God, we thank You for those people online, God, and those that will someday hear this message. God, I pray, oh Lord, that You would be here, Lord. Oh God, that Your presence would be here. Lord, that You would touch us, Lord. Oh God, that You would move with the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, and that You would touch our lives and change us, Lord. Oh God, for here we are, we're poor needy, Lord, and there's none like You, Lord. There's none other that we could turn to, Lord. There's no one else who could fulfill those needs and who could give us eternal life. God, I pray that You bind every unclean spirit, every work of darkness, every work of every devil, or everything that would try to distract and hinder, Lord. Oh, God, that those devils have no place here, Lord. For we pray in the name of Jesus and we bind them. God, we ask, oh, Lord, that You would be here, Lord, that Your presence would be here. God, that You touch us afresh, Lord. And oh, God, that You would intervene in our lives. Change us, God. Change us, fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let Thy Spirit move here in this place. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Let Thy presence be here, Lord Jesus, to meet every need. God, to change us. Oh, God, to bring us to that place we need to be in You, Lord. Oh, God, when we come before Thy throne. Oh, God, we submit everything to Thee. We give it to Thee, Lord. We ask You to bind and to break everything, oh, Lord, that would come against us. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise Your name, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Amen. Oh, it's so wonderful that we can go before the Lord and we can cry out to Him and we can bring our needs, our petitions, our desires, our hopes, you know, the things we question. God's there to meet those needs. Oh, he answers, you know. He answers. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we're not praying to a dumb idol by any means. We're praying to a living God. We're praying to the Creator. We're praying to the One who made us. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's none like Him. None at all. And it's, you know, oh, excuse the ignorance of man, because it's plentiful. And oh, wow, the things that we see going on all about us. But God has given us a living hope. Oh my, He's filled us with the Holy Ghost so that, oh, He would be deep inside our inner being. And with joy, we could draw waters out of those wells of salvation because there's a living one in us. Oh, wow, the Creator, our God, our Savior, our soon coming King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. Well, we finished the book of Jeremiah last week. amazing thing. But we're going to just go into Ezekiel for a little bit here tonight. And with the help of the Lord here, I'm going to talk about the power of a changed life. The power of a changed life. And oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad there's only one who could take us as dust of the earth. He made us to start with, but wow, we needed that second breath. We needed that breath of His Spirit to come into our lives and change us and make us whole. And praise the Lord, He does that when He breathes the Holy Ghost, when He breathes into us that spiritual manna, that living water from heaven. Oh, what a wonderful day it is when the Lord comes into our life and begins to change us. Praise the Lord. But we're going to go to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. I'm going to kind of use this a little bit here tonight to study and go with that and see what the Lord does. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. We're going to be starting with the 16th verse here in this 36th chapter of Ezekiel. Praise the Lord. Verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. And then he says, Therefore, I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Oh, praise the Lord. We learned a lot about the children of Israel when we went to the book of Jeremiah. And we know good and well that God had called them out of Egypt. And he had great desires and ambitions for those people. They were to be his. They were not to conform to the ways of the heathen, but they were to stand out. They were to be different. They were to be a holy nation, a peculiar people. They were to be separate and to obey the ways of the Lord, to know his ways, to walk in them. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, it verifies this. And this is what God had asked them to do when they went into the new land, into Canaan land. He definitely did not want them like the others. But he said here in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, it says, if you look at verse 2, And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So here it was, God had told them that when they went into Canaan land, that they were not to do the ways of the heathen by any means. They were to be separate. And there were nations that were there before them, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they were strong nations. But God was going to give his power the strength to overpower them and to win all the battles if they'd only keep his commandments and do the things that God had asked of them to do and to stand apart, to be holy, to be separate. If they'd only do that. And it would have been simple because God was going to fight all their battles for them. He was going to make a way for them. He was going to lead them. He was going to guide them. Besides, it was a wonderful land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, it had all the provisions that they needed to live a good life in every way. And God would be their God and they would be his people. And that was what his desire was. That was his covenant with them, that they would be his and he would be their God. But, of course, they were not to ever bow down to another god. They were never to serve another image and bow down to it. Instead, they were to cut down those groves and tear down those altars, break those images, destroy them, burn them in the fire, get rid of them, demolish them completely, entirely, so there'd be no traces. God thought that if the heathen were gone, and that was his desire, it wasn't because he hated those people, but they were abominable. They were doing despicable things, and God knew that his people would be tempted by their ways if they were allowed to remain. So his desire was that they would utterly destroy them. And that's symbolic of what we need to do when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to destroy sin. We need to loathe it. We need to hate it. We need to bury it. We need to get rid of it. You know, sin should not be a part of our life when we come to the Lord and become that new creature in Christ Jesus. We're to destroy those idols in our life, those things that hinder, the things that are in the way, the things that distract and would take us away from God. They're not to be a part of us at all. And this is how he was using. The Old Testament was leading the way to the New Covenant, a more perfect way. And yes, we don't have to go, you know, destroying people by any means, but we sure know how to get rid of the sin in our life if we're listening to the Lord. That's something that we can't tolerate, that we can't live in, that we can't walk in, that we have to get rid of. And you see the pattern here, because God wanted his people to be separate. He said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." And it says in verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Oh, praise the Lord. And it was precious. You know, the promises that God had for his people, that love that he had for them. If we look a little later in this chapter, it tells us what precious and special privileges they would have if they would just obey the Lord and do his will and keep his covenants. Oh my, it says in verse 12, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee." Oh, so that was God's, his will, his desires for his people. And look at how he was going to bless them so that they would be fruitful and not barren. And he would take away the sicknesses and the evil diseases of Egypt. And oh, he would make them his own special, peculiar treasure. Oh, they were wonderful. But it was a covenant. And they had an end to keep too. It wasn't unconditional. God wasn't just going to let them do any old thing and then, you know, let it be all right. And sadly, those Israelite people failed miserably to keep their end of the bargain. They did not walk in the ways of the Lord. And as we know through the book of Jeremiah, they were bowing down to those graven images. They were serving Balaam and Moloch, and they were bringing their children to the fires and doing all kinds of horrendous things. Even abominations beyond that of the heathen at times. And God saw that. So he set his fury upon them. It tells us here in this chapter in Ezekiel, that blood that had been shed, it had to be accounted for. That blood cries out. And believe me, that blood is crying out today. God sees the innocent blood that is shed this very day. And there's a cry that goes out. Oh my, God will judge for that. And those idols he saw too. And yes, he allowed them then to be scattered among the heathen, to be dispersed according to their way, according to their doings. That's how he judged them. For he's a righteous God, and he judged them according to their ways, which were evil. And so it was when they went out of the land, it was a mocking almost to God. As it says in verse 20, and when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. They weren't, you know, they weren't representing God. It was blasphemous. They were debasing. They were defiling an almighty holy God. And you know, the others would say, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. It was like a derision. It was an embarrassment to a holy God. But God was going to change things. He was going to change things. They had profaned his name among the heathen. They had been a disgrace. But God was going to change that. And it wasn't because of their sake. It was because of his holy name's sake. He was not going to have his name defiled. And that name above all name, that name Jesus, oh, we sang about it tonight. Oh, in the name of Jesus, those devils will have to flee. Oh, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Who can stand before us? Oh my, we have a great ability, a great, oh wow, provision given to us to call upon the name of Jesus. Oh, great authority in that name. And oh wow, seeing those devils flee, scatter, go in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. So God was going to stand for his name, his holy name's sake. That name that they had profaned among the heathen, whether they went, as it tells us in verse 22. And verse 23 says, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. God was going to make himself holy. He was going to make himself known. He was going to declare himself. He was going to have a people. And you know, right now, and I just had these conversations recently. I know Brother Tim and I were talking today, and you know, it's kind of a, like, who knows? It seems like there's hardly any Christians in this world. And once in a while, you come across somebody that really seems to know the Lord, which is an amazing thing. Actually, Brother Tim did come across another man today that was in the taxi that was talking about the Lord. And he's come out of Babylon, so to speak, too. And it's an amazing thing. So they're out there. But it seems like God's people are scattered. And, you know, hardly is there a representation that truly represents the Lord in this land. You know, I just remember years ago, the doctor that I had asked at one point, you know, about my religion. And I just said, well, I'm a Christian. And he didn't quite understand. He said, well, then are you a Catholic? And I realized, wow, he just doesn't know, does he? No, I'm not a Catholic. No, I'm just trying to live according to the precepts of God's word and do his word and stand on it, and, you know, and just be like Jesus. You know, and no denomination and no claim like that, but just trying to live for God and do his word and do his work and live for him. But most people don't know. They don't know what a true Christian is. I know Brother Chung, when he came here to be baptized in the name of Jesus, he felt like he'd never met a true Christian before. He felt like there was no church there in Singapore that he'd ever gone to that was truly Christian. So there are few people that truly represent God, that really stand out and declare the ways of God. Mostly his name is taken in vain, or it's profaned, or, you know, people who live way below the statutes of Christ pretend that they are Christians. But not so, not so at all. There's a day coming when everything will be judged. And wow, we want to be right with the Lord, don't we? But God was going to be sanctified before their eyes. Verse 24 says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And praise the Lord, we know that. He had promised, yes, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to allow you to be dispersed. I'm going to send you to Babylon. But there's going to be a restoration. And there was a promise in 70 years they were going to come back and be restored. And God was working in a mighty way, and he did that. It was accomplished. They were taken out from all the countries which they had been taken to, and they were brought back to their own land. It happened, that regathering. Praise the Lord. And then 25 begins to talk about a greater thing even, because it wasn't over. God was going to do a greater work. He had a new covenant that he was going to bring forth. And here in verse 25 it says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing that the Lord would take our sins, that he would bury those sins into the depths of the sea so that they're no more remembered. Oh, what a wonderful thing that we can go down in the waters in the name of Jesus Christ and be buried with Christ and rise up to walk in newness of life. Those old sins gone, those sins remitted so that there's no more payment for sin. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Colossians, the second chapter, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord does a wonderful work when he begins to call us, when he begins to stir our hearts. And all at once, we can hear that still small voice speaking to our soul. And, you know, all at once, we become aware of the fact that we're even a sinner. Oh my, and that there's changes that we need to make in our lives, and that, wow, we can come to the Lord and get right and submit our lives, our hearts to him. Oh, what a wonderful day that is when he begins to deal with us. And praise the Lord. I know 1 Peter, that third chapter, it talks about baptism. It talks about baptism, and it compares it to that time when few were saved by water during the time of Noah. That ark saved a few of them by water. Just eight of them. Just eight of them were saved in that ark. But then it says in verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Oh, what a beautiful thing, that water of baptism, it doth now also save us. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh. We don't do that just to have a clean body, you know, to wash ourselves in that respect. But it's a washing of the inner man so that we can rise up out of that water with a clean conscience, with a good conscience, and one day stand before God and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Oh, what a precious, wonderful thing it is. Oh, praise the Lord. And it's not by our own works by any means. Not by our own works. Titus, the third chapter, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, praise the Lord, that water, that washing of regeneration, not only does it remit those sins from the past, but it springs up. It lasts as waters of regeneration to keep us clean, to keep us holy, to keep us pure. And praise the Lord, I know it's written by John, "These things write I unto you, that ye sin not." But He said, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is a propitiation for our sins." In other words, a payment for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, praise the Lord, the provisions, the plan of Jesus Christ to wash us, to make us clean, to take our lives. And oh, wow, to cleanse us, not according to our own works, not according to what we could have possibly done, our own righteousness, for that's just filthy rags in the eyes of God. But it was according to His mercy that He saved us. Praise the Lord, and washed us clean in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. So God said here in Ezekiel, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." Yes, those waters clean us. They cleanse us from all iniquity. They wash us up so that we're clean in the inner man and we can stand before God one day from all your filthiness, all those things of the past washed away. Oh, wow, in those waters of baptism by the blood of Jesus Christ. And also, "From all your idols will I cleanse you." Oh, praise the Lord. He makes new creatures of us, doesn't He? Oh, wow. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." Oh, praise the Lord for that. And then verse 27 says, "And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Oh, praise the Lord. They didn't do so well under the old covenant. It was clearly given to them. Moses had given them the law. And of course, God initially wrote it by His own hand, but you know, no sooner was it written than it was broken. And then Moses gave them the law. But they didn't do so well with that law. They didn't keep it so well. And God saw that that old covenant just did not seem adequate, did it, to take away sins. It took the blood of bulls and goats, you know, to take them, to take their lives and to atone for sin. And it was just for the past and just the things for the moment. It was temporary. But praise the Lord, there was a perfect Lamb of God, perfect Lamb without spot and blemish, that gave His life for us, that He could atone for sin once and for all and take care of it. It would be final. It would be complete. It would be done, and our sins would be remitted in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. So God had offered to give us a new heart. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." You know, a stony heart is unmovable. It's hard. You know, what can you do with a stone? You know, you can hit it and pound it, and you know, it doesn't move. It hardly cracks unless it's somehow you use tremendous force. You know, you can hardly do anything with a stony heart. It's unchangeable. But God gives a heart of flesh, a flesh that can be molded, that can be shaped, that can be changed, that can be made into the image of His dear Son. Oh, praise the Lord. He allowed for that, that we might come to Him and those sins so completely taken away, and then that wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost when the Lord comes to us and puts his Spirit within us so that we could hear that voice saying, this is a way, walk ye in it, when you go to the right hand, when you go to the left. So we could know the way, so we would not be lost, so we would not be hindered. And we could hear that still small voice speaking to our hearts. Of course, Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and we've gone here many times, but it talks about that new covenant that the Lord was going to provide for his people. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise the Lord. We don't look on those tables of stone because the Lord is able to write it on our hearts. Oh, yes, we have his word and it teaches us. It helps us. It's tremendously important. But there's something else that he gives within us so that we can hear that still small voice speaking to our inner man and saying, this is a way, walking in it. He writes that law in our hearts so we can know what's right and what's wrong, so we can discern between the evil and between the good. And it says, and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what a wonderful thing, as we read there from Deuteronomy, the Israelite people were to be God's special, peculiar people. But God had a plan beyond that. He was going to call another people forth of every tribe and nation. Oh, a people from all walks of life. A people that could be molded and changed by God. That would have his Spirit dwelling in them. Oh, praise the Lord. A people that would come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And God said he would receive us. And then there in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 18, it says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So praise the Lord. That's his New Testament people, his new covenant people, those that he would call forth that would come out of Babylon, spiritually speaking, that would come out of the world, that would come unto Christ, leaving the world behind and walking in the ways of God. And God said he would come and dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, what a wonderful plan. Therefore, we know we have no agreement with idols. It has no place or no part in our lives. We have no agreement with an infidel. We have no agreement or concord with Belial. If we're the Lord's, we need to come out and be separate and touch not the unclean things. And he said he would receive us. So praise the Lord. As it says here in Jeremiah, he was going to write it on the tables of their hearts. Will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's the new covenant, where each of us could come to God as individuals. We can all know him. We don't have to rely on the priest to know God. Not that a pastor, a good pastor, doesn't help us, and there's definitely a need for that kind of instruction, but yet we can all know the Lord. We can all be called by him. We can all do a work for him. We can all live for him. We can all know the Lord, from the least to the greatest, which is a wonderful privilege. He calls us as individuals, and it's a wonderful thing. And so here, it tells us, going back to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The new covenant was going to work. There was going to be a people that would be set apart, that would do the work of the Lord, that would live for God, that would live above sin and triumph over it and be faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. A people that would not bring reproach to the name of the Lord. A people that would love his name and cherish it and love his ways and hide it in their hearts. And it says here, continuing, verse 28 again, ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. They were going to come out from among them. They were going to be separate. They were going to be the people of the Lord. It says in verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine among you. So he was going to take us out of the world. He was going to clean us up from all our uncleannesses, the things that we could not atone for ourselves, the things that we could not get rid of, the dirty deeds that he stuck to us. Oh, and we hated it when we get to know the Lord. Instead, he was going to bless us. I will call for the corn and will increase it and will lay no famine among you. The blessings that he'd given to the earlier covenant people, the children of Israel, he was going to lay no famine among you. He's going to increase the corn. It says in verse 30, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. No longer were they going to be a shame and a reproach. And it says in verse 31, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Oh, that hatred for sin. Oh, praise the Lord for that. So often when I work with people, or even just briefly testify to a person, it seems like most people don't understand that we're all sinners. You know, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know there's none righteous, no, not one, you know. And all our righteousnesses, our own righteousnesses, are as filthy rags, as it says in Isaiah 64. And you know, there's no good. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We're all abominable. We've all done abominable works. And we've all, you know, been led astray and sheep to the slaughter. But so few people realize their spiritual condition. Initially, it certainly is the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of the Lord that gets our eyes opened and our ears to hear, and suddenly that realization that we need a Savior to take away our sins. Oh, what a wonderful work that he does in our life. But we get to that place where we realize our great need and we come to Christ. And praise the Lord, he begins to work in us. He begins to change us. You know, our lives begin to be entirely different. Zephaniah 3, verse 13, it talks about those people that have been changed by the power of God. It says in verse 13, the remnant of Israel shall do no iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. That's God's people, the remnant of Israel. No, he didn't choose us because we were more than any other, because there was a multiple number of us, and you know, that was just good to go along with the crowd. God's people have always been a remnant, those that really serve the Lord. They've just been a few. And truly, I believe right now, today, God is calling forth a remnant. It's not going to be multitudes and multitudes of people. It's not going to be, you know, a popular work in this world that the Lord does. But there's going to be a few of us. There's going to be a remnant of people that know the joyful sound in walking the countenance of the Lord, that walk in the light of His countenance and do His will. And but the Lord changed them. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord delivers us, doesn't He? He sets us free. He brings good things for us. You know, He provides for us if we can rest in His promises. He says they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. We have nothing to fear. We have the Lord. We know that perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we love Him because He first loved us. Praise the Lord. We don't have to fear. We don't have to walk in that dread. We can walk with the Lord and know all is well, because we're His children. And He called us unto Himself. And He's made great provisions for us if we only believe Him and rest in His promises. Praise the Lord for that. But the Lord makes a way for us that we can repent and turn to Him. And suddenly, as it says here in Ezekiel, the 31st verse in the 36th chapter, then shall you remember your old evil ways, your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. All those horrendous things that we did in the past, all that we can hardly bear to think about now. But praise the Lord, God takes them away, doesn't He? Oh, those sins are taken care of in those waters of baptism. And oh, praise the Lord, there's no God like this. Praise the Lord, I think of Micah, the 7th chapter, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth the iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Praise the Lord, it's behind us. Praise the Lord, we can forget those things that are behind. We can reach out for those things that are before us. Because the Lord has done a mighty work. We went down in those waters of baptism after we realized that we were a sinner and needed Him. Praise the Lord, and He cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord, there's not a God like unto that, a God that would actually, truly pardon iniquity and pass by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. Praise the Lord, not retaining His anger, but showing mercy to His people. Praise the Lord. So we get to that place. The Lord shows us our spiritual need, our condition. And all at once, those things of the past, we could hardly bear. It's even hard to think of them often. And all at once, there's a new person walking in our shoes, so to speak. Oh, wow. All at once, there's a restoration. There's a changed life. All things become new. And, you know, we say goodbye to those old ways. You know, we no longer want to go to the bars. Oh, my. We no longer want to smoke those cigarettes. We don't want to be on drugs. You know, we're not going to go to those filthy movies, read those improper magazines, and, you know, do all those abominable things, go to those dances and all these other things that weighed us down, working to destroy us. Oh my, we destroy those things in our life. Yes, we get rid of it. We bury it. We burn it, you know. Oh, we give it to the Lord. Whatever, all. We want no part of that old way of life, that old style, you know. We don't have time to do all those other things anyway, you know. We might not have time to go to the ball games anymore because, we better know the Word, you know. We better have time to pray. We better put the Lord first. And, you know, there might not be time to do all those things that really don't matter. Matter or amount to much anyway. You know, the Lord changes us, and all at once our priorities become different, our goals become different, our way of thinking becomes different. There's a new man, as I said, walking in our shoes, and all of those other things we begin to loathe and hate. And oh wow, the Lord works in us. Oh, God, it's so good to bring us even to that place where we can be redeemed, where we can be set free. Oh, wow, where he can restore us. Praise the Lord, because the devil does such an evil work in our life. You know, it was the works of the enemy that was working in us before. It was eating up all the good things in our life. It was consuming us. You know, we were dead in our pleasures, dead in our sins, you know, doing this, doing that, and, you know, maybe puffing on those cigarettes and not knowing how it was destroying us, both spiritually and physically. All those other evil things that, you know, came to our mind in those other times. But the Lord is the restorer. Praise the Lord. He is the restorer. And he said in Joel that he was going to restore unto us the years that the locust has eaten. Oh, praise the Lord, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm and that great army which he had sent among them. Oh, he had to get their attention. He had to do that to old Israel. He didn't want to send them off to Babylon. He didn't want to punish them that way, but there was no other way he could get their attention. They were doing filthy things. They were, oh my, they were doing the ways of the heathen. They had idols. They were sacrificing. They were up on the hills and doing all the same things that the heathen had done and given even their children unto Moloch. Things that God could not bear. And yet, even though the prophets spoke and declared God's word, they weren't listening. So God had to allow judgment. And sometimes it's like that in our lives too. Sometimes God has a hard time getting a hold of people's attention. And, you know, and I do marvel so many times. You know, I just recently had an opportunity to work with a certain man and in Minnesota. And, you know, I talked to him before. And, you know, it's like at that point he couldn't see. He couldn't understand. But all at once, something got a hold of Dan. And all at once, God allowed certain things in his life to happen so that all at once he realized, hey, I'm sick of being a drunk. I'm sick of this hard alcohol. I've got to make a change in my life. I've got to do something to get rid of this sin. And you know, praise the Lord, he called for us. We were able to help this man. There's been some great changes in him. Praise the Lord, but that's the goodness of the Lord, doing what he has to do to get our attention, to call us unto repentance, so that we can suddenly see and understand and get right with the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful God that would show us such mercy and that would call us. And so he did this, and continuing here in Ezekiel, verse 32, "Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities." Oh, praise the Lord. That's the new covenant. When he thoroughly cleansed the land, when he cleansed them from their iniquities. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the atonement. That's the price he paid on the cross. "I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. The waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it." Oh, praise the Lord. I love the way the Lord makes things happen. If he declares it, he will do it. And the heathen were going to know that there was a change in these people. They were going to be able to observe it and know it, because the lives would prove it. And God was going to restore. He was going to build the ruined places. He was going to plant that which was desolate. All at once it would become fruitful again. Not barren, but fruitful. Not ruined, but restored and brought together again. He says, I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And you know, he did bring them back to their land. And he did restore them that old Jerusalem and Judah and all of that. But this goes beyond that. Because all our lives were wrecked by sin. We were all a mess. We all needed a Savior. We had nowhere to go but to the Lord to be complete, to be restored, to be brought back, to be delivered, to be set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, this talks about a restoration, changed lives. And you know what? God is in us. The heathen can know it. The people can see it. It's going to show on our faces. We're not going to be the same as we once were. You know, there's going to be a difference in the way we acted, the things we do, the words that come out of our mouth. It's not going to be like the old man at all. There's great power in a changed life. Oh, praise the Lord. I think of Peter so often when I think of the changes that God makes in our life. And if we go to Luke, the 22nd chapter, we realize that not only had Jesus called Peter to be a fisherman, but there was someone else who desired to have Simon Peter. And in that 22nd chapter of Luke, the 31st verse, Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter, and he says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Oh, yes, there was someone else who had plans for Simon Peter. But Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Of course, Peter thought he was converted. I suppose he did already. He is walking with the Lord. He'd been with him those 3.5 years. And, you know, he thought he had strength on his own. He said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." But he didn't realize there was something missing in his life. He really wasn't converted yet. He really didn't have the strength and the power that he needed. He didn't have that overcoming strength to really live that abundant life. And Jesus said to him, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And of course, we know that happened. We know that when Jesus was in Pilate's judgment hall, that Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. And wow, when it dawned on him, he went out and wept bitterly. It hurt so bad. There was a spirit of remorse, a spirit of repentance that came upon him. And he realized he had denied the Lord, that he didn't really have the strength that he thought he had, that boasting earlier, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." But he wasn't. He didn't have that strength. But praise the Lord, God had a plan. He had a way that he was going to strengthen that man. God had a plan that he was going to use for all his people. Praise the Lord, before he ascended, he told them, he said in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." They needed this power from on high, this power from God that would keep them. And of course, we know, if we go into the book of John, that they had to be born again. It wasn't enough to be born once. They had to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And there was going to be a particular notice when they were born of the Spirit. If we glance at John, the 3rd chapter, Jesus clearly said in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, that man Nicodemus who came to him by night, that ruler of the Pharisees, the ruler of the Jews, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Certainly Nicodemus did not understand it. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's impossible. There's got to be a new birth. There's got to be a born-again experience. You can't enter in unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Here it clearly says, it says in verse 6 here in this chapter, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He's saying it again for the third time, you've got to be born again. It's not enough to just be born of the flesh. You're going to have to be born of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And then he explains, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's a sound that comes forth when you're born of the Spirit. When you're born again of the water and the Spirit, yes, we go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. That cleansing water, that purifying water that cleanses us from sin, that remits our sin. We're born again of the water, but we're also born again of the Spirit. And it tells us, it describes that experience. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like the wind. You can hear it, but you don't know where it's coming from. You can't literally see it. And so it is when we're born again of the Spirit of God. There's a sound that comes forth. There's a sound that comes forth. And you know, you can't see where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going exactly. But there's a new birth. There's that evidence that the Lord has come into our life. Oh, when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit, when that new birth truly takes place in our life. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We saw such a beautiful display of that a couple Sundays ago. And Sister Chris went down into that water in the name of Jesus. All those old sins buried in that sea of forgetfulness. And praise the Lord, she came up to walk in newness of life. And there was a sound that came forth. There was a sound that came forth as she began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit of God was working within her and changing her and moving everything around. And oh, praise the Lord, giving way to the new man. That new birth was taking place as the Spirit of God was coming into her life. Oh, praise the Lord to change her, to give her power over sin. Oh, praise the Lord, because we couldn't do it. It wasn't enough just to walk with Jesus on earth. No, that didn't change Peter. He had to be converted. And praise the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, we see what happened. Oh, praise the Lord, the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord! And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, the Spirit was coming into their lives to change them, to give them that power to overcome, that power to witness, that power to be like Jesus. The power that was in Jesus, the Spirit that was in Jesus, the ghost that Jesus gave up. When he was on the cross, he gave that up. But he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, it would happen. And praise the Lord, here it did on Pentecost. All that new birth began to come forth. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful moment. Praise the Lord. And there was Peter. Peter had been given the keys. And suddenly, he wasn't running away. He wasn't being a coward. He wasn't denying Jesus. He was standing up there declaring the works of God. He was standing there saying, oh, men and brother, we're not full of that wine that some of you think, you know. It's not like that at all, paraphrasing here. It says, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is about the third hour of the day. But he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. It had come forth. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. On the last days I'm going to pour out of my spirit. And praise the Lord, it wasn't just for one restricted class. It wasn't just for one sect of individuals, or it wasn't, you know, for one race or nation. It was for all that the Lord our God shall call. It was for a people that would come forth, a new people, and he was bringing forth that holy nation. Oh, that chosen generation, that holy nation. Oh, that peculiar people that would show forth the praises of God, that would be called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. People that had not been a people of God before, but now would be the chosen, special people of God. Oh, a bride that he would bring forth. A people that would show forth the works of the Lord, that would live above sin and do the works that had begun by our Lord and Savior. Oh, people that would finish what he had begun, because Jesus had said in John, the 14th chapter, he told them, he said, verily, verily, verse 12, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He promised that. There would be a people that would come forth, a new people that he would bring forth, people that would be transformed, that would be changed in the image of his dear Son, that would be like Jesus Christ, that would finish his work, that would complete the work that he had begun there. Those years of Jesus' ministry were cut off. They were shortened. But there's a people that would come forth, people that were chosen by the Lord, that would walk in the light. Oh, that would bring forth the gospel, that would finish the work that had begun, that wonderful work that the Lord has started. Oh, praise the Lord, our people that would live above sin and above reproach and be faithful during affliction and hardship, being a good soldier for the Lord and oh, loving him with all their strength and all their heart, all their might, all of that. Loving the Lord above all things. Because God was bringing forth a people, people that would love him. And we see Peter as he was so changed after the Holy Ghost came into him. And Jesus had also declared, you know, that he was going to be in them. There in that 14th chapter of John, he says right now that he dwelt with them. But he says, I shall be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. And that's what the Holy Ghost is. That's the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that comes to live in our life, to change us, to make us whole, to equip us so that we can do the works that need to be done, so that we can live in this world and live above sin, disregarding the works of everybody else, disregarding what is the modern thing or the popular thing at the moment, what the trends are. Not living in that respect at all, but living for Jesus. Not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and perfect will of God, that we might prove ourselves to be faithful and stand and live above sin and above reproach. So Peter there, he declared the good works of God, and we see such a transformed man. Soon, oh my, he's going forth and preaching, even put in prison, declaring the works of God as it goes on in the book of Acts. We see him even reproving people. If we look at the fifth chapter of Acts, we see a role that Peter played. Here he is. He's standing up, not cowarding at all. And here it is. Sometimes these are the hardest things that have to be done. It was a certain couple that had fended to be Christians. They were pretending to be Christians. The names were Ananias and Sapphira, and Scripture tells us in Acts 5 how they'd sold some property, and at that time they all had things in common, and you know, some of them sold their goods. Many of them, I believe, sold their lands, their houses, and you know, brought them to the apostles. But here was this couple, and you know, they pretended that they were, you know, they had sold certain amount of their property, their possessions, and they were given it for the cause of Christ, and they brought it, and they laid it down at the apostles' feet. But it wasn't what they said at all. It wasn't, you know, what they were saying, you know, and Peter had discernment, and he realized that they weren't telling the truth at all, and he had a stand up against them and reprove them. He said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men but unto God? So there he was. He had to declare those words. And Ananias, when he heard those words, he fell down. He gave up the ghost, that spirit of life that was within him. He gave it up, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And of course, they buried him. And a little while later, 3 hours later, his wife came, Sapphira came, and Peter asked her, is this, you know, the fact that you sold this land for a certain amount of money? And she said, yes, that's what it was. She had agreed. And so it was. And Peter, again, by the Spirit of God, said, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And it says in verse 10, here in this chapter, this fifth chapter of Acts, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came, found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. But the Lord used this. You see what happened as a result of this discernment that Peter had. It says in verse 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Oh my, what a work was wrought by this. All at once the Spirit of God could operate freely. There are many signs and wonders, and the people, it says, were all with one accord. The Lord judged this situation. There was something improper in the church. It wasn't right. And these people were pretending. They were, you know, they made up a lie, and they agreed together. But God used this to strengthen the body of Christ. And it says, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. In other words, those that were just fakes, pretenders, hypocrites, didn't dare join because they saw the judgment of God and they realized that you just can't pretend to be a Christian. There has to be a genuine change. It starts on the inside and then it reflects on the outside. So the Lord begins to operate in our life. And it's something that you can't fake or make up. It's got to be the Lord working on us. The Lord working in us, you know, when he fills us with the Holy Ghost. It has to be God who takes our tongue. It's God who speaks through us. It's nothing, it's not a mumble jumble thing that we do of our own volition, our own power. But it's God declaring himself through us, changing us. And praise the Lord used this. And it tells us in verse 12 here, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the resters, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Praise the Lord. The Lord was working mightily. He was working so mightily in them. It says there came also a multitude out of the cities round about. See, the news spread abroad. What God was doing right there and then. You know, they were bringing the sick into the streets. Those beds, those couches of the sick folks were laid out there. But they were laying hands on them. In the name of Jesus Christ, those sick people were being restored. They were being healed. They were being touched. They were being changed. They were believing that even the shadow of Peter would bring about that healing. And it says there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the power of God working in lives, changing people. That's the power of a changed life. When He comes into us, it's not that we stay the same. We're not to be like the old self at all. There's got to be a new man that rises up. We're given to a new birth. We're born again of the water and of the Spirit. And wow, praise the Lord. If any man be in Christ, all things are changed, right? We come to the Lord, all things are changed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are changed. And you know, people could see it on our face. They can see it through our works, and they can believe in a living God because there's evidence that He's alive, that He's well, that He's in a people. And that's what we need to see today. You know, it wasn't just for those people back then. It wasn't just for the book of Acts. Because if we're born again of the water and of the Spirit, we are continuing the works that Jesus began. You know, He said in Mark 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Praise the Lord. And you know that early church did that. It said, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God," there in Mark the 16th chapter. And it tells us that book ends. "They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a living church. We've got the Spirit of a living God dwelling within us. And praise the Lord, He is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those same works that He did, He said, we should do also. And He said, "Greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto My Father." And here we are. We're a part of the book of Acts. But praise the Lord. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Oh, isn't it time to stand up and declare? Isn't it time to stand and be strong? Isn't it time to be committed to the Lord and really give our lives to the Lord and to stand up for that which is good and right? Isn't it time to do the works? Isn't it time to declare it? Isn't it time to lay on hands on the sick and see them recover? Isn't it time that those demonic spirits would be cast out in the name of Jesus? Amen. I fully believe it. Oh my, it's a time when the darkness is great, the hour is late. But praise the Lord, I believe He's going to raise up a people that know their God and do exploit. I believe there's a people that's going to come forth. Oh yes, a remnant that's going to come forth and do the works that the Lord Jesus began to do, to finish what He began, to live for Him, to have that abundant life that's in Christ Jesus, to live above sin and reproach and not to care what anybody else is thinking. Oh, to walk above that. To walk beyond that. Oh, to walk in the ways of the Lord and to do his work. Oh, praise the Lord, to be a living testimony in this world that's been, oh, so blackened by sin and destroyed by the enemy. Isn't it time to do the works that the Lord has set us forth to do? Isn't it time to obey that voice and to listen to that Holy Spirit that comes to dwell in us and change us to make us new creatures in Christ? Oh, praise the Lord. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that God has the Holy Ghost power for each and every one of us that will reach out and receive it, that will obey him, that will surrender our life, our will to a living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, oh Lord, that you touch us, Lord. Pray that you'd move in our lives, oh God, that you'd change us. God, that you'd bring us out of the darkness into your glorious light. And, oh, God, help us, oh, Lord. Help us to be able to declare it. Help us, Lord, to be able to stand. Oh, Lord, help us to be truly converted. Oh, God, help us to be truly born again of the water and of the Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, help us to hold on to thy word. Help us to hide it in our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, help us to stand fast in this evil day, Lord. Oh, God, put on that whole armor. Oh, God, to just stand against the wiles of the enemy, of the devil, oh, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, to exalt you, Lord. Oh, God, to live above sin and above reproach. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that you might have a people, Lord. Oh, God, that stand for you and declare it, oh, Lord, in the midst of an adulterous generation. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Our God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Samuel's coming. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. We are going to sing number 25 in the chorus book, Let Go and Let God Have His Way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way.
Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get a whole shirt. I'm going to get a whole shirt.